Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Hello and welcome to week two of the At the Movies series. My name is Vince. I'm one of the pastors at Calvary, and I'm so glad you took the time to join us for this series. It's a fun one, the At the Movies series, which is going to carry us through some time in the summer season, just a little change of pace with some content that takes the themes out of popular movies or things that have happened in film and trying to find out biblical truths. Jesus often spoke to people in parables, and so these are some of our modern day parables. My hope for week two is to build off of Pastor Steve's message from last week with Inside Out 2. As well, our Mandarin congregation right now is doing a series for the month of July in the Psalms. So I thought I'd ramp up the difficulty level, build off of last week, add in my own stuff, do a psalm, jam it all into one decent message. So here we go. Before I get fully into it, I am required on this one to say that the opinions expressed in this are not necessarily those of the governing organization. Let's start. Jesus, thank you so much for this opportunity. Lord, we want to hear from you today, what you have for us, Lord. Help us grow in our faith, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, for week two, we're taking a peek at the film The Hunger Games, the Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. It covers this, the beginning, the prequel to the Hunger Games trilogy. That spans four movies. It takes a peek before that, to this prequel, to take a look at the development of how did things get here. Okay, so it is set in this area called Panem, where there are 12 districts. It used to be a district 13. Each of the districts kind of getting a little bit more poor, getting a little more oppressed, a little more severe poverty. When the author of the books from which the movie was made, when she was asked about it, she was looking for an opportunity to tackle the issues of severe poverty, starvation, oppression, and the effects of war on people. It's a dystopian setting where each of the 12 districts must provide a tribute that is aged 12 through 18, a boy and a girl, to a fight to the death. And so there can only be a one winner out of this, the Hunger Games. It is a penalty for a failed rebellion which happened 75 years prior, which saw the fall of District 13. So we're brought into this scenario where we're introduced to this young lady, Lucy Gray, who is selected as tribute for District 12. Now, of course, everybody knows what's up at this point. They know what they're heading into. You're selected as tribute. It is this thunderdome of death where only one person's going to come out of this thing alive. It's a death sentence, and everyone knows that going in, sending their children into this death sentence, and she's selected as tribute. Now, the mental kind of anguish, the feelings that are generated in something like this, how do you move through that? And we're confronted by the feelings as a parent. How would you deal with a child being put in this terrible position? As a community, how could we let this happen? And the effects of war, the effects of oppression, the effects of starvation on a society, which takes us into Psalm 137, verses 1 through 9, and let me read them to you. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars, we hung our harps, and there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, "Sing us one of your songs of Zion." So we have this place where Babylon has crushed down Israel, and they're being led away, and they ask, hey, sing us a song. Sing us a song. To which they reply, how can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? Other versions would say a strange land. If I forgot you, Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you. If I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy. Remember, Lord, what the Edomites did on the day Jerusalem fell. Tear it down, they cried. Tear it down to its foundations. Daughter Babylon, doomed to destruction. Happy is the one who repays you according to what you did to us. Happy is the one who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. Happy is the one who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. I'm talking full-out war crimes. These are infants. These are babies. These are not bar drinks. We do not ask for our infants on the rocks. We do not ask for our infants to be shaken, not stirred. These are actual crimes against humanity that have happened to them. And their captors are saying, hey, sing us a song. Sing us one of your happy songs. Sing us a song from Zion. And they're so enraged. They're so angry, building off of these inside-out feelings. They're so angry about what has happened to them. The Hunger Games built in such a fashion where rage spills out. How do you go from this place of rage? Sing us a song. Come on, let's jazz this up a bit. Let's make this a happy moment. Sing us a song. How do you move forward? You see, the Psalms were written as raw feelings. The Psalms were written as songs of praise. They are written out as poetry. And often, many of them were put to music. And so maybe you'll remember this one, because this, not at the time, we don't know the music that particularly went with this one. But there is a group that you will probably remember in 1978. The band Boney M. made a mix of this song from a 1970 version by the Melodians. It's called The Rivers of Babylon. You know, and the song goes a little something like this, by the rivers of Babylon, by the rivers of Babylon. You remember this one? Where we sat down. And imagine I have like cool reggae hair and a little more Rastafarian with my dreadlocks. How will we sing the songs of Zion? Remember, they say, when the wicked carried us away from captivity, required of us a song. How will we sing the Lord's song in this strange land? And so these songs, these psalms were put to music in a way to remember these poetries. They're raw feelings committed to music. Now, when asked, happy is the one who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. They're saying, this is what was done to us. They're not saying that the Lord is excited about this. He's not saying, hey, God's just going to be happy when he does back what was done to you. But these are the raw feelings of people. I love that about the scripture. It's not this whitewashed, just make everything seem all happy, joy book. These are raw feelings of people that have had their infants taken from them and destroyed. Sing us a song. I'm not singing you a song. I am so angry. I hate your guts. These raw feelings, these raw emotions. You remember Boney M's other songs, Rasputin, Night Flight to Venus, Mary's Boy Child, Jesus Christ. These upbeat ways of singing these songs. This one, not so much. You know this phrase, I hate that guy. I hate that guy. Often we really mean, that guy irritates me. That guy gets on my nerves. I've got four children, and they're four hilarious kids in various ways. My second daughter, number three child, she has this fantastic method of dealing with irritating. When something irritates her, she wishes something back on you that's equally irritating, but they crack me up. I think they're funny. When something irritates her, she would verbalize, I hope your phone doesn't charge properly tonight. You know how annoying that is to you when your phone doesn't charge properly? So if I annoy her, which I do, then she would say something like that. I hope your phone doesn't charge properly tonight. I hope the lid pops off your coffee in the drink holder. You know how irritating that is? These types of like irritating, these things that have crawled under your skin. I hope someone gets into the elevator with you that has severe BO, is something that she might say. And I just think that stuff's hilarious. But stuff moves from what irritates me to this level of hate. I hate that guy. Beyond irritation, this isn't about that guy gets on my nerves, the classic, oh, I hate that guy. This is, I hate. I have a loathing in my soul. The deepest parts of me can't stand you. And I'm confronted. How do I deal with a raw, psalm-level feeling of hatred? Where does that work in with what is required of me in the scripture, with God's priorities for my life, the ways that God is hoping to shape me and change me and deal with me? How do I reconcile these things? And I'm confronted with that hate is not something that I can have in that regard in my vocabulary. God's priority system won't allow it. There's a scene in the movie where the kind of main protagonist person, Cornelius Snow, is talking with his family member, Tigress. And he's saying, these games, she's not going to last for like 1 minute. Like, have you seen her? She's like this skinny. She has no ability, fighting skills. She's not going to last 1 minute in the Hunger Games. I need to make her a spectacle, though. So I'm going to see what we can do in advance. I'm going to get her to sing us a song. To which his family member, Tigress, replies, if I was her, I wouldn't sing a note for you. In fact, I wouldn't do anything for you. I wouldn't do a thing for you until I felt that I could trust you. That level of, is there somebody who actually cares about me? Is there actually somebody who cares and loves me? The scripture says it out this way. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Oh, well, man. Pray for those who mistreat you. Luke 6, 27 and 28. How do you get to this spot where these feelings, these raw, real feelings, I shouldn't drive them down. I shouldn't contain them. I shouldn't bottle them. But how do I work in the transformation forgiveness of God as a person of faith? How do I do that? How do I move from this place where I'm instructed, I'm encouraged, I'm told by Jesus, love your enemy, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you? We have that image of Jesus himself on the cross. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They don't know what's up, Father. And Jesus is just, he's racked in that moment. Forgive them, Father. Jesus knows what it's like to love an enemy, to do good to those who hate him, to bless those who curse him, to pray for those who mistreat him. And he extends that to you. He extends that to me. You see, the tendency of mankind is, you did that to me, I want that to happen back to you. And Jesus has called you to a higher way. The subtitle for this message is, love thy irritating brother. There's going to be people who crawl under their skin, but I'm not allowed the luxury of hate. I can hate evil. There are things I can hate, but I can't hate people. The instructions from Jesus are very clear. One of the main scientists in the film, she says this, Dr. Volumnia Gall, she says, "Fueled with the terror of becoming prey, how quickly we become predator." See how quickly civilization disappears? And it's this indictment against mankind, our tendency to lash out and lash back. There's this graphic I want to show you that is taught in Christian circles. It's the F train, not an F bomb. It is an F train. The F train puts these three parts of a train, this engine, this cart, this caboose, in order, and says, facts lead things, faith leads things, feelings come up the rear. Some people put them faith, facts, feelings, facts, faith, feelings. Feelings are the thing brought along by the end, not the thing that leads me. Because how I feel in that moment, I'm encouraged, I'm told by Jesus, I know they've got on your nerves. I know they mistreated you. I know they did you wrong. Do good to those who hate you. Our feelings are valuable, not to be bottled, but they're not my master either. How do I switch the order of things? Prayer. Getting into your Bible, hearing the voice of God. Perhaps it's the wisdom of counsel coming around you. Perhaps that move of the Holy Spirit in your life, that process of sanctification, that cleaning up, to reorder things in a way that works. And no judgment. No judgment along the way. I'm in the same boat. Just this last week, I had to put the F train into motion because I was F-bombed. It was a wild experience. I was at night shift serving with an excellent team of people from the church. And what we do on the first Tuesdays of each month, some of ladies in the church, they put together soup and sandwiches, and they come Tuesday morning, put it all together. And Tuesday night, a team of us go out onto the street at the night shift headquarters and hand out food. We're there to do good. We're there to serve people, love people, make sure people are fed. Well, through this process, there's a gentleman there who used to be a part of the congregation many years back. I've been to his home when he had one. I've gone out for coffee with him when that was a thing. I've been to his place of work. We have hung out, and somewhere through all of life and a series of choices, ended up finding himself hooked on fentanyl and a variety of other drugs, and living on the street, cross-dressed. He's just messed up. He's my age, but life has just beaten the tar out of this guy. And for whatever reason, he is high on his drugs, and he was not having me. He was not into talking with Vince, and he knows who I am, and I got F-bomb, procreate with yourself, Pastor Vince. So he knows who I am. He's calling out, Pastor Vince, you know, you an F, and the F train was going crazy. And I'm in this position where I'm like, I'm not angry with you. I have nothing against you. Not because I'm this amazing Superman. There's just been nothing. The situation has gone off the rails. And what should I do? Reach out in love. I'm sorry things have gone this way. If there's something I can do with an F and the F And he was just not having it. And, you know, I attribute a lot of that to the drugs. Because I've met him at night shift a number of times before, and there's nothing like this. But he was definitely cooked that night. What do you do when hate comes at you? I've had it in a prayer meeting. I had an F-bomb dropped on me. The person thought I ignored them. And effity F, I got an A thrown in there too, and an F and an A. I'm collecting letters apparently. Because this person thought I snubbed them and wouldn't pray with them. I pray with anybody. I'll pray with every, I don't care. I'll pray with anybody. Love this person. But they thought that they'd been snubbed. And out came the cuss bombs. Well, it's my hope in life. I love praying with people. I hope to be the light of this world. I can't respond in anger. You can be angry with me. You can even hate me. But I'm intended to be molded, remolded by the power of the gospel, by the active work of the Holy Spirit in my life, to be an agent of love. We're required in Scripture to be these agents of love, for we would be known by our love. Scripture says it this way in Romans 12, 17, 18. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is in the right of the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you. Live at peace with everyone. Romans 12, 17, 18. Looking for care, looking for love in a world filled with hate, it's a tricky thing. I think, the church isn't a political entity, but I think government gets a real, hard rap in this. The corporations have a hard time loving. We have, the church isn't a political tool, but we have people in the church who are in politics, and I love that. I think that's a great thing. Valuable thing. My friend Lita Cabal, she's Port Kells running for the conservative nomination there. We love having Christians, people who can speak the voice of love into government. But agencies, entities, corporations have a hard time and struggle to care. Programs struggle to care. People can care. The Lord can care. When you're filled with love, it is hard to hate. The mandate that we would be known by our love. And I'm baffled at this question. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. What is love? And it's a question that we ask, like, I'm trying to figure it out myself all the time. Is taking care of everyone's problems love? Is just fixing everything that goes wrong in someone's life love? I don't know. I think Jesus loves me, and he doesn't fix all my problems. I think my family loves me, but they don't fix all my problems. My wife loves me, doesn't fix all my problems. So is love fixing all your problems? Is care just doing whatever a person wants all the time so that they can be happy? I don't think that is what it is. And I'm baffled by it and trying to sort out myself as I walk through my own journey of faith. This what is love? I know the Lord loves me, yet allows me to struggle. And I think that struggle is an act of love. And you have to be at a different place in your maturity to handle that. Isaiah 25 and 4 says it this way. Referring to God, you have been a stronghold to the poor, a stronghold to the needy. In his distress, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm against a wall. And Proverbs says it this way, whoever brings blessing will be enriched. Listen to this. And one who waters will himself be watered. An active agent of love and change and care in this world is you, can be you. And the question then becomes, is the Lord speaking to me in such a way that I am growing in love? Where hate exists, love must abound that much more. We are not people of hate. We don't get the luxury of hating people. We are people of love. And my encouragement to you today is just straight from the scripture. You are loved. Jesus loves you. You are loved. Pass it down to the next person and love them too. Let me take a moment and pray with you. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to hear a bit of your word and check out how it relates into this film and the things that these that the Israelites were going through in as they were taken captive. Lord, help transform parts of our heart that are that cling on to hateful things. Lord, help transform our heart that we would be known by our love. Father, we want more and more to be just a little bit like you. Father, pour your love into us, and we promise you we will not bottle it up, but we will pass it along. We will not be the dam in the stream. We will let it flow. Lord, we want to be known by our love. That's what you require of us, and that's what we want to do. Ask your blessing on each one who hears your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an amazing week.